Good morning, everyone out there to WKXL, New Hampshire Talk Radio. You are with Artful Living this morning. Jane Cormier, your host here on WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. We are going to offer another wonderful radio theater program today, and our production is The Ugly Duckling, but it is written by A.A. Milne of Winnie the Pooh fame. And this is a parody story play about how we think of beauty and what beauty really is all about. And because we want to get right to the play, I'm going to just announce our cast. And our cast of characters is the following. We have Benjamin LePage as the King. We have Andrew Gibson as Chancellor. We have Kathy Kelly as the Queen. Megan Schmidt is Princess Camilla. Luca J. Pellegrini is Prince Simon. Silas Kennerson is Carlo. And Catherine Martinez is Dulcibella. So join us as we enter the world of fairy tales and love and happy endings with A.A. Milne's The Ugly Duckling. Our location is a throne room of the palace, and we will soon be introduced to our cast.
His Excellency, the Chancellor.
I was thinking...
Never, Your Majesty. Was there a greater need for that than now?
That's what I was thinking. Well, what is it? More trouble?
What we might call the old trouble, Your Majesty.
It's what I was saying last night to the Queen. Uneasy lies the head that wears a crown, was how I put it.
It is in the matter of Her Royal Highness' wedding.
Oh, yes.
As Your Majesty is aware, the young Prince Simon arrives today to seek Her Royal Highness' hand in marriage. He has been traveling in distant lands and, as I understand, has not...
Meaning he hasn't heard anything?
It is a little difficult to put this tactfully, Your Majesty.
Do your best. I will tell you afterwards how you got on.
Let me put it this way. The Prince Simon will naturally assume that Her Royal Highness has the customary, so customary as to be in my own poor opinion, slightly monotonous, has what one might call the inevitable, so inevitable as to be, in my opinion again, almost mechanical, will assume that she has the, and I think of it, faultless, icily, regular, splendidly...
What you are trying to say in the fewest words possible is that my daughter is not beautiful.
Her beauty is certainly elusive, Your Majesty.
It is! It has eluded you. It has eluded me. It has eluded everybody who has seen her. It even eluded the court painter. His last words were, well, I did my best. His successor is now painting the view across the water meadows from the west turret. He says that his doctor has advised him to keep to landscape.
It is unfortunate, Your Majesty, but there it is. One just cannot understand how it can have occurred.
You don't think she takes after me at all? You don't detect a likeness?
Most certainly not, Your Majesty.
Oh, good. Your predecessor did.
I have often wondered what happened to my predecessor.
Well, now you know.
Looking at the bright side, although Her Royal Highness is not strictly speaking beautiful...
Not truthfully speaking beautiful...
Yet she has a great beauty of character.
My dear Chancellor, we are not considering Her Royal Highness's character, but her chances of getting married. You observe that there is a distinction?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Look at it from the suitor's point of view. If a girl is beautiful, it is easy to assume that she has tucked away inside her an equally beautiful character, but it is impossible to assume that an unattractive girl, however elevated in character, has tucked away inside her an equally beautiful face. That is, so to speak, not where you want it tucked away.
Quite so, Your Majesty.
This doesn't, of course, alter the fact that the Princess Camilla is quite the nicest person in the kingdom.
She is indeed, Your Majesty. With the exception, I need hardly say, of Your Majesty and Her Majesty.
Ah, talking about Camilla.
As always, my dear, you are right.
This fellow Simon, what's he like?
Nobody has seen him, Your Majesty.
How old is he?
25, I understand.
In 25 years, he must have been seen by somebody.
Just a fleeting glimpse.
I meant, Your Majesty, that no detailed report of him has reached this country, save that he has the usual personal advantages and qualities expected of a prince, and has been traveling in distant and dangerous lands.
Ah, nothing gone wrong with his eyes? Sunstroke or anything?
Not that I'm aware of, Your Majesty. At the same time, as I was venturing to say to His Majesty, Her Royal Highness' character and disposition are so outstandingly...
Stuff and nonsense! You remember what happened when we had the Tournament of Love last year?
I was not myself present, Your Majesty. I had not then the honor of... I was abroad, and never heard the full story.
No, it was the other fool. They all rode up to Camilla to pay their homage. It was the first time they had seen her. The heralds blew their trumpets and announced that she would marry whichever prince was left master of the field when all but one had been unhorsed. The trumpets were blown again. They charged enthusiastically into the fight and... Don't do that.
I'm sorry, my dear.
And what happened? They all simultaneously fell off their horses and assumed a posture of defeat.
One of them was not so quick as the others. I was very quick. I proclaimed him the victor.
At the feast of betrothal that held that night...
We were all very quick.
The chancellor announced that by the laws of the country, the successful suitor had to pass a further test. He had to give the correct answer to a riddle.
Such undoubtedly is the fact, Your Majesty.
There are times for announcing facts and times for looking at things in a broad-minded way. Please remember that, Chancellor.
Yes, Your Majesty.
I invented the riddle myself. Quite an easy one. What is it which has four legs and barks like a dog? The answer is... A dog.
You see that?
Yes, Your Majesty.
It isn't difficult.
He, however, seemed to find it so. He said an eagle. Then he said a serpent. A very high mountain with slippery sides. Two peacocks. A moonlit night. The day after tomorrow.
Nobody could accuse him of not trying.
I did.
I should have said that nobody could fail to recognize in his attitude an appearance of doggedness.
Finally, he said death. I nudged the king.
Accepting the word nudge for the moment, I rubbed my ankle with one hand, clapped him on the shoulder with the other, and congratulated him on the correct answer. He disappeared under the table, and personally, I never saw him again.
His body was found in the moat the next morning.
But what was he doing in the moat, Your Majesty?
Bobbing about. Try not to ask needless questions.
It all seems so strange.
What does?
That Her Royal Highness, alone of all the princesses one has ever heard of, should lack that invariable attribute for her royalty, supreme beauty.
That was your great-aunt Malkin. She came to the christening. You know what she said.
It was cryptic. Great-aunt Malkin's besetting weakness. She came to my christening. She was 101 then, and that was 51 years ago. How old would that make her?
152, Your Majesty.
About that, yes. She promised me that when I grew up, I should have all the happiness which my wife deserved. It struck me at the time.
I never heard anything less cryptic. She was wishing you extreme happiness.
I don't think she was wishing me anything, however.
But what, Your Majesty, did she wish Her Royal Highness?
Her other godmother, on my side, had promised her the dazzling beauty for which all the women in my family are famous.
Indeed, yes, Your Majesty.
And Great Aunt Malkin said, what were the words?
I give you with this kiss a wedding day surprise where ignorance is bliss. 'Tis folly to be wise. I thought the last two lines rather neat, but what it meant...
We can all see what it meant. She was given beauty, and where is it? Great Aunt Malkin took it away from her. The wedding day surprise is that there will never be a wedding day.
Young men being what they are, my dear, it would be much more surprising if there were a wedding day. So how...
We're going to take a little break here on WKXL, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. You are listening to Artful Living and our little play that we're putting on for you today, The Ugly Duckling. We're going to have a little break, but we're coming right back. You have to meet the princess, so stay right where you are. Welcome back. You're with Artful Living here. Jane Cormier, your host on WKXL, New Hampshire Talk Radio. And if you are just joining us, you're in for a treat because we are continuing our reading of a theater play by A.A. Milne called The Ugly Duckling. And in the first segment, we were introduced to the king, the queen, and we were introduced to the chancellor who works with the king and the queen, and the challenge that seems to be facing the king and the queen in that their daughter is not outwardly beautiful, and the challenges this raises for a wedding. So just as we ended the first segment, we were about to be introduced to the Princess Camilla. And so we're going to start our reading right at the time that she enters the scene. King and queen are discussing the wedding day, a possible wedding day, and here is Princess Camilla.
Hello, darling. Oh, I say, affairs of state? Sorry.
Don't go, Camilla.
Shall I withdraw, Your Majesty?
You are aware, Camilla, the Prince Simon arrives today?
He has arrived. They're just letting down the drawbridge.
Arrived? I must...
Darling, you know what the drawbridge is like. It takes at least half an hour to let it down.
It wants oil. Have you been grudging it oil?
It wants a new drawbridge, darling.
Have I Your Majesty's permission?
Yes, yes.
You've told him, of course. It's the only chance.
No. I was just going to when...
Then I'd better. You can explain to the girl. I'll have her sent to you. You've told Camilla?
No, I was just going to win.
Then you'd better tell her now.
My dear, are you sure?
It's the only chance left. My daughter.
Camilla, I want to talk to you seriously about marriage.
Yes, Father.
It is time that you learnt some of the facts of life.
Yes, Father.
Now, the great fact about marriage is that once you're married, you live happy ever after. All our history books affirm this.
And your own experience too, darling.
Let us confine ourselves to history for the moment.
Yes, Father.
Of course, there may be an exception here and there, which, as it were, proves the rule, just as, never mind.
Go on, darling. You are going to say that an exception here and there proves the rule that all princesses are beautiful.
Well, leave that for the moment. The point is that it doesn't matter how you marry or who you marry, as long as you get married, because you'll be happy ever after in any case. Do you follow me so far?
Yes, Father.
Well, your mother and I have a little plan.
Was that it? Going out of the door just now?
Yes. It concerns your waiting maid.
Darling, I have several.
Only one that leaps to the eye, so to speak. The one that, with everything.
Dulcibella?
That's the one. It is our little plan that at the first meeting she should pass herself off as the princess, a harmless ruse of which you will find frequent record in the history books and allure. Prince Simon to his, that is to say, bring him up to the, in other words, the wedding will take place immediately afterwards, and as quietly as possible. Well, naturally, in the view of the fact that your Aunt Malkin is 152, since you will be wearing the family bridal veil, which is no doubt how the custom arose, the surprise after the ceremony will be his. Are you following me at all? Your attention seems to be wandering.
I was wondering why you needed to tell me.
Just a precautionary measure in case you happen to meet the prince or his attendant before the ceremony, in which case, of course, you would pass yourself off as the maid.
A harmless ruse, of which also you will find frequent record in the history books.
Exactly. But the occasion need not rise.
The woman, Dulcibella.
Ah, now, Camilla, if you will just retire to your own apartments, I will come to you there when we are ready for the actual ceremony. Come in, my dear. Don't be frightened. There is nothing to be frightened about. Has Her Majesty told you what you have to do?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Well, now, let's see how well you can do it. You are sitting here, we will say. Now, imagine that I am Prince Simon. You are the beautiful Princess Camilla, whom he has never seen. This is a serious moment in your life, and you will find that it will not be helpful. I am announced. His Royal Highness Prince Simon. That's me being announced. Remember what I said about giggling. You should have a faraway look upon your face. Farther away than that. No, that's too far. You are sitting there thinking beautiful thoughts in maiden meditation, fancy free, as I remember saying to Her Majesty once, speaking of somebody else, fancy free, but with the mouth definitely shut. That's better. I advance and fall upon my knee. You extend your hand graciously, graciously. You're not trying to push him in the face. That's better. And I raise it to my lips, so, and I kiss it. And then, what do you say?
Coo!
No, not coo.
Never had anyone do that to me before.
That also strikes the wrong note. What you want to say is, oh, Prince Simon.
Oh,
say it.
Prince Simon!
No, no. You don't need to shout until he has said what two or three times. Always consider the possibility that he isn't deaf. Softly and giving the words a dying fall, letting them play around his head like a flight of doves.
Oh, Prince Simon!
Let us try to get it another way, Dulcibella. Have you a young man of your own?
Oh, yes. He's ever so smart. He's an archer. Well, not, as you might say, a real archer. He works in the armory. But old Bottlenose, you know who I mean. The captain of the guard says the very next man they ever has to shoot, my egg will take his place. Mm. Knowing father and how he it is with egg and me being maid to her royal highness and can't marry me till he's a real soldier. But ever so loving and funny-like, the things he says. I said to him once, Egg, I said...
I rather fancy, Dulcibella, that if you think of Egg all the time, say as little as possible. And when thinking of Egg, see that the mouth is not more than partially open. You will do very well. I will show you where you are to sit and wait for His Royal Highness.
Well...
Hello.
Aren't you?
Do sit down, won't you?
Who are you? And how did you get here?
Well, that's a rather long story. Couldn't we just sit down? You could sit here if you liked, but it isn't very comfortable.
That is the king's throne.
Oh, is that what it is?
Thrones are not meant to be comfortable.
Well, I don't know if they're meant to be, but they certainly aren't.
Why were you sitting on the king's throne? And who are you?
My name is Carlo.
Mine is Dulcibella.
Good. And now couldn't we sit down?
You may sit here, if you like. Why are you so tired?
I've been taking very strenuous exercises.
Is that part of the long story?
It is.
I love stories.
This isn't a story, really. You see, I'm attendant on Prince Simon, who is visiting here.
Oh? I'm attendant on Her Royal Highness.
Then you know what he is here for?
Yes.
She's very beautiful, I hear.
Did you hear that? Where have you been lately?
Traveling in distant lands. With Prince Simon.
Ah. All the same, I don't understand. Is Prince Simon in the palace now? The drawbridge can't be down yet.
I don't suppose it is. Ugh, And what a noise it makes coming down.
Isn't it terrible?
I couldn't stand it anymore. I just had to get away. That's why I'm here.
But how?
Well, there's only one way, isn't there? That beech tree. And then a swing and a grab for the battlements. Ooh, and don't ask me to remember it all. Ooh.
You mean you came across the moat by that beech tree?
Yes. And I got so tired hanging about.
But it's terribly dangerous.
That's why I'm so exhausted. Nervous shock.
Ugh. Of course, it's different for me.
Say that again. I must have got it wrong.
It's different for me, because I'm used to it. Besides, I'm so much lighter.
You don't mean that you...
Oh, yes. Often.
And I thought I was a brave man. At least I didn't until 5 minutes ago. And now I don't again.
Oh, but you are. And I think it's wonderful to do it straight off for the first time.
Well, you did.
Oh, no. Not the first time, when I was a child.
You mean that you crashed?
Well, you only fall into the moat.
Only? Can you swim?
Of course.
Okay, we're going to take a little break here on WKXL, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com, WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. Stay right where you are because we're going to come back with our third segment of The Ugly Duckling. Welcome back to WKXL, New Hampshire Talk Radio, WKXL 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. If you're just joining us, you're listening to a radio theater program by A.A. Milne. The play is called The Ugly Duckling, and we have the story in full gear here. We have the princess and the prince who are meeting each other, and of course the challenge is they are both not telling the truth about who they are, and mom and dad, king and queen, are trying to get these two together in hopes of a marriage down the road. So we're going to play out this little scene, and here we are with the prince and the princess of the Ugly Duckling.
So you swam to the castle walls and yelled for help, and they fished you out and walloped you, and the next day you tried again? Well, if that isn't pluck.
Of course I didn't. I swam back and did it at once. I mean, I tried again at once. It wasn't until the third time that I actually did it. You see, I was afraid I might lose my nerve.
Afraid she might lose her nerve.
There's a way of getting over from this side, too. A tree grows out from the wall and you jump into another tree. I don't think it's quite so easy.
Not quite so easy? Good. You must show me.
Oh, I will.
Perhaps it might be as well if you taught me how to swim first. I've often heard about swimming, but never...
You can't swim?
No. Don't look so surprised. There are lots of other things which I can't do. I'll tell you about them as soon as you have a couple years to spare.
You can't swim, and yet you crossed by the beech tree? And you're ever so much heavier than I am. Now who's brave?
You keep talking about how light you are. I must see if there's anything in it. Stand up. Ugh! You're right, Isabella. I could hold you forever. You're very lovely. Do you know how lovely you are?
Yes.
Why are you laughing?
Aren't you tired of holding me?
Frankly, yes. I exaggerated when I said I could hold you forever. When you've been hanging by the arms for 10 minutes over a very deep moat, wondering if it's too late to learn how to swim... what I mean to say is that I should like to hold you forever. Why did you laugh?
Oh, well, it was a little private joke of mine.
If it comes to that, I've got a private joke, too. Let's exchange them.
Mine's very private. One other woman in the whole world knows, and that's all.
Mine's just as private. One other man knows, that's all.
What fun. I love secrets. Well, here's mine. When I was born, one of my godmothers promised that I should be very beautiful.
How right she was.
But the other one said this: I give you with this kiss a wedding day surprise, where ignorance is bliss, 'tis folly to be wise. And nobody knew what it meant, and I grew up very plain. And then, when I was about 10, I met my godmother in the forest one day. It was my 10th birthday. Nobody knows this, except you.
Except us.
Except us. and she told me what her gift meant. It meant that I was beautiful. But everybody else was going to go on being ignorant and thinking me plain until my wedding day. Because, she said, she didn't want me to grow up spoilt and willful and vain, as I should have done if everybody had always been saying how beautiful I was. And the best thing in the world, she said, was to be quite sure of yourself, but not to expect admiration from other people. So ever since then, my mirror has told me I'm beautiful, and everybody else thinks me ugly, and I get a lot of fun out of it.
Well, seeing that Dulcibella is the result, I can only say that your godmother was very, very wise.
And now tell me your secret.
It isn't such a pretty one. You see, Prince Simon was going to woo Princess Camilla, and he heard that she was beautiful and haughty and impetuous, all you would have been if your godmother hadn't been so wise. And being a very ordinary-looking fellow himself, he was afraid she wouldn't think much of him. So he suggested to one of his attendants, a man called Carlo, of extremely attractive appearance, that he should pretend to be the prince and win the princess's hand. And then, at the last moment, they would change places.
How would they do that?
The prince was going to have been married in full armor with his visor down.
What fun!
Neat, isn't it?
Oh, very, very.
Neat, but not so terribly funny. Why do you keep laughing?
Well, that's another secret.
If it comes to that, I've got another one up my sleeve. Shall we exchange them?
All right. You go first this time.
Very well. I am not Carlo. I am Simon. Ow! Ooh,
what is it?
Cramp. I was saying that I was Prince Simon.
Shall I rub it for you?
I am Simon.
Is that better?
I am Simon.
I know.
How did you know?
Well, you told me.
But aren't you to swoon or something?
Why? History records many similar ruses.
Is that so? I've never read history. I thought I was being profoundly original.
Oh, no. Now, I'll tell you my secret. For reasons very much like your own, the Princess Camilla, who's held to be extremely plain, feared to meet Prince Simon. Is the drawbridge down yet?
Do your people give a faint, surprised cheer every time it gets down?
Naturally.
Then it came down about 3 minutes ago.
Ah, then at this very moment, your man, Carlo, is declaring his passionate love for my maid, Dulcibella. That, I think, is funny. Dulcibella, by the way, is in love with a man she calls Egg, so I hope Carlo isn't getting carried away.
Carlo is married to a girl he calls the Little Woman, so Egg has nothing to fear.
By the way, I don't know if you heard, but I said, or as good as said, that I am the Princess Camilla.
I wasn't surprised. History, of which I read a great deal, records many similar ruses.
Simon!
Ha ha, Camilla. May I try holding you again? Sweetheart.
You see, when you lifted me up before, you said, "You're very lovely." And my godmother said that the first person to whom I would seem lovely was the man I should marry. So I knew then that you were Simon, and I should marry you.
I knew directly I saw you that I should marry you, even if you were Dulcibella. By the way, which of you am I marrying?
When she lifts her veil, it will be Camilla. Until then, it will be Dulcibella.
Then goodbye, Camilla. Until you lift your veil.
Goodbye, Simon. Until you raise your visor.
Careful!
Who and what is this? More accurately, who and what are all these?
My attendant, Carlo, your majesty, he will, with your majesty's permission, prepare me for the ceremony.
Of course, of course.
Your maid, Dulcibella, is it not, my love? I thought so. She will prepare her royal highness.
Yes, most important.
I beg pardon, your majesty, if I've done wrong, but I found the gentleman wandering.
Quite right, my dear, quite right. We've pulled it off.
Have I your majesty's authority to put the final test to his royal highness?
Is this safe?
Perfectly, my dear. I told him the answer a minute ago. Don't forget. Dog!
Proceed, Your Excellency. It is my desire that the affairs of my country should ever be conducted in a strictly constitutional manner.
By the constitution of the country, a suitor to Her Royal Highness Anne cannot be deemed successful until he has given the correct answer to a riddle. The last suitor answered incorrectly and thus failed to win his bride.
By coincidence, he fell into the moat.
I have now to ask your Royal Highnesses if you're prepared for the ordeal.
Absolutely.
I may mention, as a matter possibly of some slight historical interest to our visitor, that by the constitution of the country, the same riddle is not allowed to be asked on two successive occasions.
What's that?
This one, it is interesting to recall, was propounded exactly a century ago, and we must take it as a fortunate omen that it was well and truly solved.
I may want my sword directly.
The riddle is this. What is it which has four legs and mews like a cat?
A dog!
Bravo! Bravo!
According to the records of the occasion to which I referred, the correct answer would seem to be...
Say something quick!
Not dog, but...
Your Majesty! Have I permission to speak? Naturally. His Royal Highness could not think of justifying himself on such an occasion, but I think that, with Your Majesty's permission, I could...
Certainly, certainly.
In our country, we have an animal to which we have given the name dog. No. Or, in local dialect of the more mountainous regions, doggy. It sits by the fireside and purrs.
That's right. It purrs like anything.
When it needs milk, which is its staple food, it mews.
Mews like nobody's business.
It also has four legs.
One at each corner.
In some countries, I understand the animal is called a cat. In one district country, to which His Royal Highness and I penetrated, it was called by the very curious name of hippopotamus.
That's right. Do you remember that ginger-colored hippopotamus which used to climb onto my shoulder and lick my ear?
Shall I never forget it, sir? So, you see, Your Majesty...
Thank you. I think that makes it perfectly clear. You're about to agree.
Welcome back to Artful Living here on WKXL NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. WKXL 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. If you're just joining us, we are in our last scene of a one-act radio theater production called The Ugly Duckling by A.A. Milne. And, well, you know what? This story is just too complex to try to get together in a quick explanation. But let's just say we're running to the ending of the story where the prince and the princess, if they can get through the scene, we'll be getting together and the king and queen will be happy and everybody will be happy and we will have a redefinition of what beauty is all about. What could go wrong here? All right, so here we go. We're going to begin with the chancellor who works with the king and he's going to get us back into this scene.
Undoubtedly, Your Majesty, may I be the first to congratulate His Royal Highness on solving the riddle so accurately.
You may be the first to see that all is in order for an immediate wedding.
Thank you, Your Majesty.
Doubtless, Prince Simon, you will wish to retire and prepare yourself for the ceremony.
Thank you, sir.
Have I Your Majesty's permission to attend His Royal Highness? It is custom of his country for a prince of the royal blood to be married in full armor, a matter of which requires a certain adjustment.
Of course, of course. Young man, you have a quality of quickness which I admire. It is my pleasure to reward it in any way which commends itself to you.
Your Majesty is ever gracious. May I ask for my reward after the ceremony?
Certainly. Now, young woman, make yourself scarce. You've done your work excellently, and we will see that you and your... What was his name?
Egg, Your Majesty.
That you and your egg are not forgotten.
Coo!
Wait for me, Dulcibella.
Well, my dear, we may congratulate ourselves. As I remember saying to somebody once, you have not lost a daughter, you have gained a son. How does he strike you?
Stupid.
They made a very handsome pair, I thought. He and Dulcibella.
Both stupid.
I said nothing about stupidity. What I said was that they were both extremely handsome. That is the important thing, isn't it?
What do you think of Prince Simon, Camilla?
I adore him. We shall be so happy together.
Well, of course you will. I told you so. Happy ever after.
Run along now and get ready.
Yes, Mother.
My dear, have we been wrong about Camilla all this time? It seemed to me that she wasn't looking quite so plain as usual just now. Did you notice anything?
Oh, just the excitement of the marriage.
Ah, yes. That would account for it.
The end. All righty. So we're going to just talk a little bit with our actors now. We've reached the end of The Ugly Duckling, which, of course, was a story about defining love and kind of the silliness of the king and the queen in believing that beauty was always exterior, of the character Princess Camilla, who always understood her beauty was within and she never questioned her beauty without. The goodness of the prince, who really was a good chap inside and out, and Carlo and Drew, what's her name? Dulcibella. That sort of the, you know, outside characters here that accompany us on this journey. So we let's go through our cast list again. So we have Benjamin LePage, who was the king.
Yeah.
Andrew Gibson, the chancellor.
Hello.
Kathy Kelly, who was our queen.
Hello.
We have Megan Schmidt, Princess Camilla.
Hello.
Luca Pellegrini, who is Prince Simon.
How you doing?
Silas Kennerson, who is Carlo.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Catherine Martinez, who is Coo. Oh, Dulcibella.
So I was actually going to say the same thing.
Oh, I caught Coo. You. You know, great minds think alike.
It's like you're my mom.
Yeah, imagine that. All righty. So we have a real great group of characters here. And let's give these last few minutes of our segment here to them and let them have a discussion. Let me pose a question to you guys, and then we can have everybody kind of answer at will. How's that?
Okay.
All right. Let's see. I'm gonna try to pull a profound question out of this thing.
Not a lot of profundity.
No. I'm just trying to find something that the audience would find interesting in listening to. Okay, let's start here with the queen, because you know, in a lot of ways, her character isn't hard to understand, right? She's kind of like exactly what she seems to be. So why don't we have Kathy Kelly tell us about the queen in The Ugly Duckling.
She just loves her daughter and wants her to be happy. And she doesn't see her as beautiful. She does miss that because of what Great Aunt Malkin said. But she just loves her and just wants her whole family to be happy.
Okay. And do you think that she's maybe a little shallow in character?
Maybe a little.
Had to throw that in there. Yeah, because I don't know how this poor Camilla came out so good myself with this character of the queen and the king, you know, at every sight, sort of putting Camilla down. What do you think about that? The person who played Camilla, Megan Schmidt.
I think it's really a great joke that, you know, she knows that she's beautiful, but nobody else does. So she kind of lives like a day-to-day joke, like the joke's on everybody else.
Joke's on everybody else. I think that's key for that character. Right? She knows what she's worth and has always known. It's just that now everything's come to fruition where she's met someone that she really likes. So that I always thought that was a great character. I really liked her. All right, Mr. King. I have more issues with Mr. King than anyone in this play. I don't know why. So tell us about your character in reading him. What'd you think about him?
He's a U.S. Marshal.
Oh, my gosh. He isn't.
No.
Tell us about this character.
He's vain.
He is vain. Little bit, and what else?
He's big.
Oh, you see him as a big guy?
Yeah, I saw him as a thickie.
Okay, all right. Why is that?
Pavarotti.
Oh, my goodness, really?
I'm on a kick. I love him.
I love him, too. Oh, yeah. Don't get me going.
Great
everybody,
minds think alike. It's not just your daughter.
Everybody out there that listens to the story or listens to Art for Living at all knows that I've had Pavarotti talked about many times on my radio program. And in fact, I dedicated an entire episode to Luciano Pavarotti once years ago when he passed. And I always thought that was one of the best episodes I ever put on radio. But that was just me. So I'm a fan. But let's get back to the king. So do you think the king has any, when he started the play and where he ended, do you think he had any movement as far as depth of character?
Yeah, he's more rounded now. He's been in the stream of consciousness. He actually has to think about his daughter.
Yeah, well, the very last line, he really did have to think, didn't he? He started to question whether or not he had that right at all, right, you know, right thinking at all. So Mr. Andrew Gibson, who was our chancellor, that was some spiffy voice acting there. Tell us some of the characters of your chancellor.
Oh, gosh. I'd say he's a little bit of a cynic, but in a funny way. Like he's sort of I feel like he's the only one in the room who sort of just knows what's happening at all times and sort of just plays along.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think he likes the king?
I think he does. I think he finds him to be a little bit charming, even though sometimes I'm sure he can be slightly exhausting.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think actually the chancellor is in some ways the pivot point in this piece because it's through his eyes that, through his sarcasm maybe, or dry wit, that we see the shortcomings of the king, you know, how he kind of talks over the silliness that the king says sometimes. So
Oh, yes. You
really got that great. The voice encapsulated that character 100%.
Thank you.
So it was excellent. Excellent. All right, let's chat with our Prince Simon.
Hi.
And let's see, what did you think about your character? Give us some characteristics.
So Simon, he's a prince, but he's not really like in love with being a prince. You know, he talks about how like he travels lands with, you know, his friend Carlo. And I think that's the only thing he likes about being a prince. But all the bureaucracy and royalness, he could do without. I mean, he could be a poor man and still be traveling around with Carlo and he'd be happy.
Absolutely.
You know, but he's also, you know, a good guy. He's an interesting guy. And honestly, that's the, you know, that was the hard part of, you know, playing him, playing somebody who's actually good at flirting, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think he's just good, period.
Yeah.
You know, a good-hearted person, and that comes through in his dialogue with Camilla. And there's something to be said with being able to play that character. Sometimes the simple things on stage and on radio, I think, are the hardest to play because they leave you fewer. You have to dig for the important parts of it.
Yeah.
Whereas for, like, Chancellor, kind of gives you a little bit more of what that's all about. Okay, we hear music here. Quickly, let's get that mic over to Silas. Silas, was this your first endeavor for radio theater?
This was, yeah.
This was. So how'd you like it?
A little scary, but it was very fun.
Were you scared, really?
Yeah, you're a very scary person.
Oh, my God.
Wow, let's get
respectfully.
It.
Respectfully. Yeah. Respectfully.
You're never going to be on this show again.
Let's go.
Get him out.
Oh, my
get
goodness.
Him out.
No,
get
I would never.
Out.
He's a good guy. You have to laugh. Okay, they're giving us the sign that we have to. These guys are crazy. All right, so I'm going to say goodbye. WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. Thank you for listening to us. And share Art for Living with everybody because it's a great show. And Silas, don't worry, I forgive you.
Thank you.